start switching lanes. 2 hours from now, hop on LTBR Twitter page and that shit'll say, Stewie unexpectedly winds up on death certificate like Michelet. I am consistently fire rolling.
October 18th, it's already halfway through October, or half past the halfway mark. And we're almost at the end of the year, man. We're in quarter three already, man. All we got is rest of October, this Drake card. Everything in November, December, and 2021 is officially in the books. It's been a hell of a year. There's always something going on every single day, every single week. So even when I'm not around, don't worry. We got it all covered. I had a lot of fun this past weekend. I got a chance to go to the iBattle event. That was a blast, man. I always have a good time out of iBattle. So salute to Lex, because I can't say enough good things about Lex. Yeah, we did do our Q2 report. You could probably find it on our Instagram or on our Twitter page, or if you just probably like Google like LTBR Q2 2021, it'll pop up. Ta-ta, what up, man? What up, gang? All right, man. You know, we do give some coverage to the King of the Dot season, despite popular belief. Despite the false narrative, the LTBR doesn't cover any of the leagues. If this weekend wasn't enough proof for it, then I don't know. You got to just listen to those people. Shouts to Nunnun. I seen he had a tweet saying narrative is the most overused word in battle rap. And everybody responds to it like, oh, you're creating a narrative for narrative. And I thought it was just hilarious. I thought all that was real fucking funny. But I do want to say this, though, about narratives in battle rap. Listen, man. I'm gonna call it what it is, straight up. Don't look at us as the media people. I don't believe we control the narrative. Battle rappers control the narrative. And I sincerely and honestly mean that. You know what I'm saying? Of course, media people can sway certain things. We can report things incorrectly. But as far as the actual hearsay, what's said, what's reported, it's the battle rappers. The battle rappers are the ones that pretty much dictate and lead the narrative. Salute to Lady Caution. Much love to Lady Caution. Big friend of the show. We love her over here. Battle rappers are the ones that control the narrative. I'm sorry. It's just the truth. You know what I mean? I don't even want to point out people that I know have not told the truth about situations, have fabricated, have lied, have gone behind people's backs. You know what I'm saying? We're not here to expose anybody. But I'm just here to say that, you know, battle rappers know how to get ahead of the narrative. They'll grab a hold of Hip Hop Is Real, 15 Minutes of Fame, or now Instagram Live, which is their favorite go-to. They'll say how they feel, or they'll try to paint the story a certain way. And that's the introduction of that saga, period. And it started from a battle rapper. We're going to just report what happens afterwards. We're going to just tell you the sequence of everything. But where does it begin? It begins with those guys. And if you really want proof, look at Murder Mook and Easy. Like, that entire battle is a mess. That entire battle is a mess. A hot mess at that. Hot Mess Express. Like, hold on, man. Listen, man. From start to finish, right, when we seen that battle get announced that Saturday, it caught me by surprise. Like, I had no clue that was the battle that was going down. I had talked to some people. Nobody had told me nothing about no Murder Mook and Easy. You know, Easy reported that he knew Friday. Murder Mook was reporting that he didn't know until Easy knew. Easy saying that they spoke after Easy got off the plane. You know what I'm saying? And Mook's like, well, we spoke because I called you. And Easy's like, well, you know, I'm the replacement battle. So if I'm getting a replacement call, that means you should know what's up. You know, granted, there might have been some miscommunication, but they communicated, period. And at this point, like, it just looks crazy on Mook to have had a conversation with Easy before going live with Stiz, talking all this shit, calling Easy a one-trick pony, and you see what I do to people, and it's going to be in a small room. And then 24 hours after that, or 48 hours after that, he just ducks out the battle. He just backs out. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, his best bet would have been to have just stood quiet for 2 to 3 days, had a conversation with Easy, had a conversation with his camp, and figured out if this was the right decision. Because once you jump out the window and start promoing or talking shit or addressing the battle, like, that's it. It looks like you're locked in. It looks like you're already agreed. It looks like you're a part of it. Now, an interesting aspect of this entire, I don't even know what to call it, whatever kind of situation you want to describe this as, Easy did report here, the trailer came out before we signed contracts. That is a very fair point. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, the trailer came out because URL thought the battle was ready to get locked in. They needed something to cover up Hustle and Coffee because that was a debacle in itself. So, of course, they announced the battle without locking it in. So, that's a mistake on the league. But it's also smart business on the league because they'd already put that anticipation on everybody. And we're like, we want the match. We want the battle. Ultimately, a lot of you guys need PR, man. A lot of these guys need PR, period. All Mook had to do was just chill out. Just sit back and think about this entire shit for like 2 days, maybe 3 days. And you would have figured it out. So Easy's not scrambling to get a replacement match. He's not trying to battle DNA or all these other people that are on the table. It is a mess. It's a hot mess. If you ask me personally, I think Murder Mook has to spin the block on Easy. Like, that's it. Like, the match is already kind of in the air. I would love for them to, like, spin the block on this, like, maybe volume with enough prep time. But I don't think that's going to happen. Mr. Ramirez says, there's no battle if there's no contract. While I would love to say that's true, unfortunately, in this industry, there's a lot of verbal agreements before contractual agreements. You know what I mean? And I guess people, high-profile guys or big matches of this magnitude, you can't afford a handshake. You can't afford an agreement over the phone. You need something. You need a signature somewhere. You need an e-signature somewhere. You know what I'm saying? Like, verbal agreements do have legal precedence. Yeah, but not in battle rap. Not in battle rap, they don't. You know what I'm saying? Even signed agreements probably don't have that much legal precedence in battle rap. There's been very few cases that we know of, but maybe there's more that we don't know of. But I'll say this much. I do respect the fact that Mook needed more prep time. I just hated his rollout of it. You know what I'm saying? Because when did we get so accelerated in battle rap that 20 days prep is like normal? It's not normal. At least I don't think that it's normal. You know what I'm saying? Or at least from the battle rap that I remember watching growing up, that was not normal. And maybe there's a new hybrid of people that can get ready within 7 to 21 days. But for a long period of time, that wasn't the case. And I don't know. I'm okay with battle rappers respecting their craft and their prep time. It's just he came out. He just jumped out the window talking shit. You can't jump out the window talking shit and then say you don't want to do it no more. It looked crazy. You know what I'm saying? That part looks crazy. If you had, this was a perfect opportunity for Mook to kind of like be humble. We would have been able to empathize with him if he had just stood quiet and said, "Yo, I love the idea of this battle, but I cannot do it under these circumstances." What are we gonna say? We're not gonna be upset. We're not gonna say anything. If you can't call Easy a one-trick pony, go quiet for 2 days and then say you don't want to do the battle no more. That looks crazy. That looks absolutely insane. Can't do that. Mook needs 6 months. I don't even think he needs 6 months, but shit, man, 20 days? It's not even 3 weeks. It's not even 3 weeks. You can't be the GOAT 17 days if you can't come up with one round. Oh, my God. I'll say this much. I do respect prep time. Like, Easy himself has said multiple times, if you can contact me within 5 weeks, that's perfect. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't really want to do anything less than a month. And that's probably why you've seen Easy be as consistently good as he is. But, of course, this is a big bag. This is Drake. This is Caffeine. This is one of the biggest cards of the Caffeine time period that we're in. Everybody wants to get on it. So I'm sure people will make the sacrifice, but when you look at Murder Mook's like pioneer peers, Loaded Lux and Hollow the Don recreated rounds for Chess and Tay Rock within, I think it was 12 days, right? Iron Solomon took JC on 3 weeks prep when Surf, you know, Surf had his incident. Surf couldn't battle JC, and then he battled Big K the next week. You know what I'm saying? T-Rex has done the back-to-back plenty of times in his career. So when you look at a lot of guys from Mook's era, you could say, hey, listen, they've done it. Let's see you do it. And I hear that argument for sure. Like, I can't go against that side. Like, if you're saying, like, everybody is about that life now, and everybody from your time period has participated in this difficult short prep time, we want to see you do it. I mean, that's fair, because this also would have been, what, I think, like, his second battle outside of New York, or maybe third battle outside of New York with a crowd. What, I don't know. Like, he hasn't battled that much on the road. He there's a lot of things that he has not done that a lot of his other peers have done. So you want to look to Mook and say, well, like, we can't keep having you such in prestige manner compared to these guys if you're not going to do what these guys have done. Truthfully, if you ask me, like, I've been thinking about this for a little bit of time. I think Iron Solomon is the best pioneer from the DVD era that's translated to this time period. He's battled on King of the Dot. He's battled on RBE. He's battled on URL. Yeah, he might have had one of the worst URL battles of all time, but then he came back and gave us one of the best URL battles of all time with Rum Nitty. He's headlined cards on URL. He's done the short week prep time. He was the last time you've seen Iron Solomon active, where he decided to say, yo, I'm outside, he was a top four champion of the year contender. Like, when you really start to think about it, Iron Solomon might have to be the best guy from that era to this day. We'll bring it on Madflex soon. We bring it on Madflex at 11:20. Let me go ahead and give our guy the link. What do you guys think of that, though, man? Do you think Iron Solomon is the best DVD Smack era pioneer to translate into the modern era? O9 Bull says T-Rex. That's definitely a reputable answer. I definitely don't have Iron above Lux, to be honest. I think the Iron looks a good conversation to have. Iron's battled a lot of guys. Be Magic, Arsenal, Daylight, Disaster, Nitty, T-Top, JC, Big K, Chilla Jones. Like, he's battled more of the Penn guys than the Penn guy himself. I like the T-Rex pick, but you know, T-Rex never was absent, I guess, right? Like, T-Rex was active the entire time period. I felt like Iron had a solid, like, 4-year hiatus, then came back. Reed Dollars had a long hiatus, then came back. A lot of those guys had, like, hiatuses. But, I mean, Rex is a good answer, too. Rex is a great answer. I'm not mad at that answer at all. Lux battles are events. Iron battles are nice to have. Yeah, I mean, I think Lux still has the big profile, but I'm just looking at the resume, who has, like, I guess, translated better, who has done more, who I think is a better battle rapper. I feel like it might be Iron. I feel like you could point to Iron for sure. But, I mean, it's a good debate. It's a healthy debate. Lux has one of the greatest battles of all time with him and Hollow, and one of the greatest performances with him and Calico. So, like, those two things alone make it extremely difficult to beat. But if you don't have Lux, if you don't have Iron over Lux, I think Iron is a hard second. Mook is scared of battle Arsenal. These are facts, says Talon Stewart. T-Rex says, chat gives Mook the benefit of the doubt. What up, Savage Vandross? Salute to you. Anastasia says, Jersey. Hit Dice says, Mook is scared of math. I don't think anybody's scared of math, man. Let's call it what it is. Cuban says, chill. Nah, man, I don't know, man. I don't think anybody's scared of math, you know what I'm saying? Like, even when math was in his prime, like, I didn't really see math, like, really, like, bodying people. Like, he had really good battles. He had a lot of great battles. Him and Pat Stay, you go down the whole laundry list of good performances that he has, but I never felt like he was killing people. His resume is great, too. Like, I'm not even downplaying it. I've never seen Matt Pfaff as being, like, classified as somebody that's scary. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's people that's like, Ill Will, that's scary. You know what I'm saying? Av, that's scary. You know, Twerk, when everybody says the if of Twerk, but one Twerk is there, like, that's a scary match. From Nitty, that's a scary match. Like, I've never heard math in that category. You know what I mean? So, all right, man, we said Matt Flex the link. Should be having him pull up any second now. In the meantime, while we wait for a guy to pull up. Yeah, I've never considered Matt to be that guy. Like that guy just like, oh, snap. Like, he's spooky. You know what I'm saying? Like, nah. Cuban says, yo, I won 30 on caffeine. I'm retiring. Yeah, man, you got a long way to go before you retire, man. But salute to you, man. You definitely you handle business on your caffeine debut. I liked a lot of the pockets you was in. I personally liked your performance, and you low-key could honestly say you did have the best performance that night, but that night was a mess, so I kind of don't like that sentence for you. But you could definitely say that. I think there's a lot of there's a lot of moral victories, a lot of good points to take away from your performance. I was pleased, personally. As a fan of Cuban, I was definitely pleased. The night being a mess ain't my problem. I just rap. I hear that. I did not get a chance to see the homecoming event. I was at an iBattle this weekend, but I definitely got to check that out. Oh my God, Skyler, I'm not reading that out loud, man. that's a good message, but I can't read that out loud, man. Come on. That's crazy. Come on, what am I supposed to do with that, bro? That's insane. I can't read that, bro. You're wildin'. Keep going. I don't mind. Keep going. I can't read that either, man. Jaws, that's also crazy. But keep going. All right, man. Hanging tight. Maflex. Lee NY gang here. Leany gang here. The Leany gang. I said Lee and Y, my bad. Leany gang. All right. Let's see what's going on with it. All right, he said he's on his way. While we wait, some more updates from, I guess, iBattle over the weekend. Yo, man, I know the iBattle app is a bit pricey, but I will say this, it's value because they do so many events within the quarter of that time period that you pay, that even if you just pay for 1 month, which is $25, you are getting over 3 events, easily over 20 plus battles. So I will say that, like, if you just want to support them for 1 month, it's a great investment. But if you like to just battle individual battles, let's just buy individual battles, that's even good, too. I love that model. I love the fact that you can just go in there, buy the battle specifically that you want to see. And if you were ready to waste $2 to $3 on a battle, Homeschool and Ace, wow. Homeschool and Ace, that was such a fun battle. Luke Castro and Mulips, super fun battle. I had a blast watching both those battles. Salute to Ace, man. I don't know if you won a round. I told him this after the battle. I'm like, yo, I'm not sure you left this battle just now winning any rounds. Like, maybe the second round, but damn, like, Homeschool really came to play. I'm not going to front, though. Like, I do feel like one of my favorite things when people come to, like, iBattle or Gates of the Garden, they get a chance to, like, just get a little bit more comfortable, try new things. They don't really write their material to the highest level because they probably try to save it for bigger opportunities or bigger opponents, which they should, but they bring their execution. Like Ace and Luke Castle didn't bring URL level material, but they brought URL level execution and performance. poise and all these little savvy tricks that you've learned after battling some of the best guys and on some of the biggest cards. And I like that because they're able to kind of like tone it down while still keeping this level of like professionalism and presence within their performances. Ace was dope, man. Ace is kind of mastering this, like, how to have long build-ups that, like, you don't really get lost in. He kind of strings you along and knows how to, like, build suspense. So when you get to the haymaker, it kind of, like, it's rewarding and it pays off. Homeschool is a little is fire as fuck. A little awkward, but pen-heavy. Facts. Wait till Suicide finds out Ace lost to Homeschool. Yeah, man, Napoleon called some highlights off Ace, man. I'm not going front. Like, but Ace was a great support, man. When Homeschool bumped him, Ace kind of like decided to fall back and shit, but he exaggerated it just for the sake of it. And the entire room, as you can see in the clip, the entire room just went crazy. They erupted. They picked up Homeschool like he was the second coming of Jesus. Like, damn near Ace fell out the frame. Up there, guys, y'all talking about pasta in the chat? What are they talking about in the chat, man? I seen YNWA and T-Rex going at it, man. What's happening in the chat? Ace took a dive. Yo, man, I think he did take a dive, man. I think there was no way he probably said, you know what, I'm just going to have fun this battle. I probably won't win it. It's on his home court advantage. He'll get all the love, but it is what it is. Luke Castro and Mulips, though. That was such a fun battle. Some people say Mulips is like the white bill collector. He's really unorthodox, really funny, really wacky, really all over the place, really comical. He has some dope lines. And then we once again, a nice little rapping pocket, he could. Luke Castro, just he has fun with shit like that. You know what I'm saying? He couldn't help himself but to laugh. Yeah, facts, Chad Admin. I Battle Lou is fire. This is the second battle so far in I Battle this year. And both times he's been a blast. What's a Mulips? Mulips. I know the name is crazy. That's a crazy ass name. But, you know, it went down. That's the name. Mulips is funny and unorthodox. Yeah, man. And look, let me tell you something, man. As a battle rapper, if you're one of these street guys, like, your pen is not ultimately tested until you get in front of some diversity. You know what I'm saying? You got to battle a woman, you got to battle a white guy, you got to battle a nerd, you got to probably battle somebody that's not from your country. Like, you have to have your pen tested against all types of styles and variety in battle rap to really say you're a great battle rapper. That's why, low-key, I can't wait for Surf and Iron Solomon to battle, because Surf's never battled a white guy. And Surf's probably the only person that's never battled a white guy. Like, you can point to everybody else, Arsenal, Suge, Red, Twerk, obviously, from Jersey. They've all battled white guys. Sirius Jones, and then you start to travel to NY, like DNA, Goods, Clips, Cortez, Math, John, you know what I'm saying? Up there, guy says, respectfully, no black needs to battle a white in battle rap. My brother, I'm going to strongly disagree with you there. Very strongly disagree with you there. I don't think you can name an all-time great that has not battled a white guy. I think it is a necessity, because Seth's the only person that hasn't done it. Everybody else has done it. So, I don't know. I guess Lux is another one, but shoot, man, you know, I would love to see Lux and, like, Illmatic go at it, you know what I'm saying? Lux is a special case, I guess. I feel like Lux's greatness obviously comes from his two performances, Calico and Hollow, but it also comes from the Lions Den. Like, had he never battled in the modern era, he would have gave us Lions Den, and that would have cemented his legacy alone. But even Mook has battled a white guy. Like, I don't know, man, like, I feel like it's a necessity, truthfully. That's just my opinion. Like, it needs to be tested. Like, those two worlds have to collide. Danny Myers, Pat Stay. And some of the best battles are interracial battles, man. People said, let me tell y'all something. Y'all cannot troll me. what's going on in this chat? I'm not paying attention to it. I might have to start watching y'all because y'all going crazy in here. Ah, shit. NBA Mills is here. Yo, Lil Reddy can say what he wants, bro. Like, interracial battles, that shit is... I could point to so many, man. Pat Stay and Danny, Sharon and Shotgun Shug, Sharon and Arsenal, DNA and Erg. There's so many, man. Ty Law and Snow, Real Deal and Chilla Jones, Nitty and Iron, Iron and Math. Shit, any Iron Solomon battles, man. Iron and Enes. Like, I don't know. To say it's not a necessity, I disagree with it. I disagree with that strongly, bro. I disagree with that really strong. Lil Reggie says, nah, that white dude versus Ace was good. I think Lil Reggie likes the white battle rappers that, like, just accept their whiteness and that they're awkward over the white guys that try to, like, be rappity rap and tough. I think that's what he likes because he likes Anderson Burroughs. He likes Homeschool. So he's like, if you just come like the nerd white guy that you are, I will accept that. Because you probably have some good lines, which they do. Most times they do have good lines. Illmac and JC. being able to rap is a problem for Reggie. I'm sorry, up there, guy. That's how Reggie feels. That's how Reggie feels. Four times. Headlights versus Big K. That's a great battle. It's a great battle, bruh. Matt Flex versus Ness Lee. You know what I'm saying? Matt Flex coming on, so that's a fire battle. There's too many, man. There's too many. There is too many. A-War versus Ill Will. Hello. One of the best battles this year. A-War versus Bill Collector. Hello. One of the best battles a few years ago. Like, yeah. You up there, guys. You're wildin'. That shit is a necessity, bro. You're 100% bugging. There's only two people that have not done it. It's Lux and Surf. And Lux's catalog, you can't compare to people because this... He doesn't focus on his catalog like that. Surf, and guess what? Surf, it needs to be done with Surf. Iron and Surf has to go down. That's how I feel. Iron and Surf has to go down. There's a couple battles that have to go down for Surf. He said it. He said Mook. He said Iron. Like, those are battles that probably like should go down before it's all over. He said other battles like JC, Cortez. Those are wants. Those aren't needs. You know what I'm saying? So even Surf knows he needs to see Iron Solomon, all right? So once your man says that, it's over. Hitman Holla versus Shoddy Horror. That's a good one. That's a good one. You know what I'm saying? How about them Cowboys? Yo, man, I feel like it's needed. I feel like it's needed. I feel like it's needed. I'm sorry. There's two worlds of battle rap. They both collided, and I love to see it go down, honestly. And guess what? If it wasn't needed, then, like, when URL first started to, like, really venture out and grab Iron Solomon, they want to grab Iron Solomon. They want to grab SoCon. They want to grab some of these guys trying to, like, grab people from Grind Time saying, yeah, we need them over here. And Grind Time was really, since before it was URL, like, that show was, like, a culmination of, like, all the diversity from all regions, all states, all over the country, people battling each other. Like, that shit is needed, bro. It should have needed. All right, we're waiting for Matt Flex. We're waiting for Matt Flex. Let's check in on him. Okay, he says he's still on the way. I'm going to hang tight for it, though. It's all good. I actually was supposed to have him on at 11. I started and just wanted to talk to you guys before I brought him on, so... Young Ills battle the white guy. Avers battle the white guy. X Factor, right? Everybody. Everybody, bruh. Obviously, Sirius Jones. Goods. SoCon. It's not so much the assistance, it's the challenge. That's what you guys are like missing out. Like there's a challenge to your pen that you have to go through battling a style that's not like that. Like, even when Surf was describing, like, how he needs to battle Iron, he's like, yo, I don't know what to do with Iron because I can't talk about shooting guns. I can't talk about street shit. Iron's not that. So I need to figure something else out. And I feel like that challenge is needed for everybody. Period. Yeah, man. I had a matcha latte today. Be more. All right, man. We're waiting for my man Matt Flex to pull up. While we wait for Matt Flex, we'll still talk about some more news, man. What else is going on in battle rap? There's always something going on. Let's pull this up right here, man. We've seen DNA and Hollow the Don go at it on Instagram Live. And Hollow the Don is a perfect. He says he's been here for 10 minutes. I don't see him. This can't be true. I'm the host here. Let's see what's going on. Let's see what's going on here. I don't see him, man. There we go. Perfect. All right. We'll talk about some DNA and Hollow in a bit. Perfect timing, man. All right, make sure you can hear me. Matt Flex, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Hold on, man. Let me make sure I got my audio right. All right, perfect. I can hear you.
Good. I don't know what happened, but yeah, we're good now.
All right, man. All the way from the Bay, West Division leader, Mr. 150, Mr. Flex. Good morning.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing fantastic, man. The season, I guess, is over for the West, and it's been an incredible experience for everybody. Something brand new for all of us, the battlers, the leagues, the fans. First and foremost, how would you describe the season for you, and how would you describe how your season went?
It was cool, man. Like, I actually really enjoyed being a part of kind of like there's a lot of excitement involved in it. And, you know, kind of just the giant question marks of what's going to happen. The scores are always kind of like unpredictable, and you don't know, you know, based on different judges and based on like different performances where it's going to go. So it's just like, it's fun to be competitive, man. Like I'm actually really enjoying getting back into the competitive aspect of it, where a lot of this stuff is kind of exhibition, you know what I mean? So it's been cool. It's bringing out the best in everybody, a lot of camaraderie amongst the West dudes. I love what everyone else is doing in the other divisions. So it's been real cool. I like it, man. I'm having a good time.
And as a whole, your season, you went 2-1, 150, yeah. Another high score, and then a pretty good score against a really good Stewie Newton. So let me put that out there as well. How would you give your season a letter grade, and how do you feel about your season as a whole? Like the highs, what would you do better?
No, I loved it. I did everything I wanted to do. I think I had some wiggle room in my third battle to kind of experiment a little bit, so I did. And I'm glad that I did, because I learned a lot of things that I needed to learn. I tend to be pretty all over the place when I rap, and it's just like my default setting, you know what I mean? And so I was like, all right, I'm going to go in, and I'm just going to say what I want to say in this third battle since I'm pretty good. And it went over well. It was cool. I mean, you can't always determine what people like and they don't like, but I think beyond that, I'm ready for these playoffs, man. That's what this is all about. As far as the season went, the season was to get to the playoffs, and now we're here, you know, and I feel like it's time to go. There's no hesitation. There's no experiment. There's none. It's like, get the job done or leave, you know? So I'm excited for that one. I'm excited to see who the first one is.
What's the incentive of being the leading the division? Like, you're number one, so like you're technically like the number one seed of the West going into the playoffs. Like, are you playing the number four of another division? Like, what's
that's my understanding. It's my understanding that that's kind of like they're gonna figure out once the other divisions finish. But I think it's gonna be like, let's say it was the South, right? It might be the one goes against the four in the South, the two goes against the three in the South, and flip flop that for the ones and the twos out there. So. But it's my understanding that it might even be like West and East too. It could be West and North. So I guess it's not as predictable as it was. So, I mean, but yeah, I don't know how much that benefits a lot of people too. Cause it's like at the point where we're at four, You got four out of the 12 people in there. Like, seeding, it's kind of like it's anybody's game, man. You got passes like a three seed, bro. It's like, come on, you're going to have trouble no matter what seed you are with a dude like Pass. So, you know, yeah, but it's going to create some crazy matchups for sure.
I can't wait. Personally, hopefully I get a you and Bill Collector somewhere down the line in this because, that. Like, I feel like you got – if I have to power rank the entire season from all divisions, like, I feel like you guys are in the top three. Like Bill, you, and Mac Meyer are, like, the three best battle rappers, in my opinion, so far this season.
We have high ceilings, you know. We basically, if we're at our ceiling, we're all really tough to beat. And I think, and I love them both. Both of those dudes are my guys, man. I mess with Bill, I mess with Mac, and I'm actually really excited to see like people that I really mess with doing well in this tournament, man. Like, because at the end of the day, if the money doesn't come out my way, I would just love to see. That's how I felt about Saint too. Like when Saint got that money, I was real happy for him because Saint's one of the realest, man. I really mess with Saint. So I feel that way about Mac and Bill. And, you know, I'd be excited to see him get money too. So it's like, we all win at the end of this shit, man. Like everybody's doing well. Everybody's doing some good shit for their brand. So, you know, but yeah, that'd be great. I'd love to battle Bill. Bill would bring out a good flex for sure.
Oh yeah. That's a top BOTY right there, man. That's one of the best battles this year. We need that. And when the 150s were happening, right, you got the first 150, sure. Bill got the second one. And at that moment, it felt like getting a 150 was very difficult. It felt like something real prestige. Right. Then Clone and Lou got one, like, in the same day. And then everybody started to question, like, hold on. These 150s didn't feel the same as the other 150s we saw. And I had a conversation with Dunch where he said he feels like the 150s incentivize battles that aren't competitive as opposed to ones that they are. How do you feel somewhat about the 150 and the whole point system as far as the judging?
I feel like he's kind of it's right in and wrong at the same time. It incentivizes being much better than your opponent, but that happens on different scales, right? So you can't necessarily compare a 150 against a really competitive dude to a 150. The guy is just like a doormat. So, it's really hard to get 150s against dudes in this tournament because they're all here for a reason because they've had some success. But also I've never really put much stock into the score, like as far as what I can control and can't control. So it's not like a 150 thing. I actually have kind of been burdened by the 150 thing because nobody benefits from being a favorite, man. Like nobody, you know, you don't want to be like, I'm trying to sneak under the radar here. And then all of a sudden it's like, this guy's going to win. And then all of a sudden, like, you know, it just becomes this constant struggle to keep that instead of having, you know, just like a level playing field. So, but I do think he's right in some ways because, like, I mean, if you really think about it, some of these 150s, not even some, but some of them have come with, you know, like you get a choke, not even a 150. You could talk about the 149s, the 148s even, you know. Chokes really, really benefit people who stand in front of them, man. And I think that's one of the things about the tournament that Dunch is right about is that if somebody rolls over and they phone it in, then they're giving away free points to somebody, you know? And that's a lot different than a dude like Reverse Live who went crazy all three this season and absolutely like could run the gauntlet in the finals. Like he could make it there with his skill set and with what he did. And the points just fell a little bit out of his way and now he's out of the tournament. So, I mean, it does kind of incentivize, you know, chokes and I imagine they'll fix that in the future.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy, right? Cause I feel like every division kind of has like that walking lick, like, oh, this guy, you guys score $150 on this guy. Like this is the guy that you can get the highest score on. Bobby Lee was the guy in the West, ended his season 0-3. In the South, Carter Dean's that guy, and Reverse Life, in my opinion, like, was consistent the entire season, and in my opinion, him and Saint was at least one of the best battles so far the entire season,
so good, yeah.
And Caustic just kind of, like, snuck up on Bobby Lee, and bam, now he's in the playoffs.
Yeah, to tell you the truth, I don't think Bobby Lee is that guy at all. I think Bobby Lee was competitive with everybody. He had a close one with Saint, he had a close one with Caustic. And our battle was being in the battle with Bobby was tough because he's competitive, man. Bobby's not the type of dude that you can overlook because he's got a lot of personality. And when he hits hard. But I mean, there are a few guys that just, you know, you can tell they're just not as kind of like seasoned in winning. You know what I mean? Like, because anybody can go out there and do what they do, but winning a battle takes a lot of strategy, you know? And, you know, I've been lucky enough to, you know, with all the bot stuff that I did, and I've done a lot of judge battles. So I know how to win judge battles, and that benefits me. And I think, you know, like there's a lot of people that are coming here. This is all completely foreign to them. And they do tend to be the people that kind of like when they battle, it's like they go in there without a game plan. And even if they're really good, it's like sometimes they can't really pull it off. So,
yeah. And it's almost like when you're fighting that last guy, that's like he's 0-2. Even if he has a 150 in his last battle, he wouldn't make the top four seeding. So I'm surprised those guys even want to give a scrappy performance to begin with, because it's like, no matter what I do, no matter if I put my best foot forward, I can't make it. But they, like Stewie, Shane, a couple guys really closed the season out strong. And it's almost like because they're out of the race, everybody kind of like wants to write them off. Even the opponent, like, oh, let me not sleep on this guy because he might try to do like you and Stewie. Like, I had a conversation with Stewie before your battle happened. I was like, good luck. God bless your soul. You know what I mean? And maybe that little bell curve of like expectations, does it exist in the season as well?
It does. I mean, it the one thing, to tell you the truth, what I'm honestly learning is you have to bring friends to this shit, bro. You have to. Like, I spat my whole first round and didn't get any reaction, and I wrote very, very like strong. I wrote the best I could, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna go in there strong in 1 and 3, and I wrote my second round last because I was like, I want my end caps to be strong.
Only time I crossed lines in hip hop in the first. Oof.
Yeah, cross any lines, like, yeah, it's that's a true story. So it's something that, like, you know, I think I was excited for it, and then I went in there and I was like, wait a second, I'm like, kind of feel like I don't have any support in this room right now. So, you know, I'm just, and to tell you the truth, I think that when you watch it back on cam, it's going to be kind of like, yeah, like Flex said some shit and that, but that's half of the problem too, is that there's a lot of things in play that you can't control. And so I've always been a big believer. There's no real absolutes in hip hop. You just got to play a smart hand. But yeah, like a guy like Stewie, I mean, and a guy like Saint, they didn't have, you know, they weren't completely out of it either. Like if Stewie really washed me, like then he could have stolen my spot. It would have taken a lot. I would have had to get like Lucifer, Carter Deems. Do you know what I mean? Like it would have done, but he came out there. Like that's what he was trying to do. And the same thing with Saint in reverse. They were like, I could flip this whole thing on its head if I get a 150. So they came searching for a 150. Whereas kind of like, you know, like, I was in a position where I was like, I'm pretty much need to be competitive. And then that gets me in the playoffs. And so, you know, there's a lot of dynamics at play, but I think people like Stewie, people like Saint, they're not ever going to roll over and die. Never. You know, they're just too competitive and they got too much heart. So, God, man, they killed it. It was crazy.
You know, looking at your division, it's crazy. 'Cause like, on paper, going into it, I would have assumed Thesaurus would have been in the top four with you guys. This is a legend. This guy's won plenty of tournaments in the past. There's something brand new would have really inspired him. And I think you got the last great Thesaurus performance in the Grand Prix.
Well, I know he had a good one with Jay the Nightwing. That's what I've heard. See, the thing is that Thesaurus is such a travel, like, he's the type that he's just good to go, and he writes fast. So a lot of times he writes kind of last minute. That's his process. I could never, bro. I could never. Like, you tell me to write last minute, I'm like, I'm all over the place. Like, because my cadence doesn't lend itself to quick memorization. So, but the thing is with Thesaurus, he's so content-based that he could say things that are so impactful and impressive, but he's on short notice. He forgot one word against Cali. One word, and it cost him the end. And not only did he do that, but he sat in that moment for too long. And when that happened, not only did he lose the round, it turned into a 10-8, and then it turned into a 10-7. So I think when that happened, he really needed to run the gauntlet. And when he went against Active, the judging with that really, really was like, it bothered him. And I think in some ways, rightfully so. You know, he was getting violated. You know, like it's one of those things where he went out there and he performed really well. And some of
he deserved a better score for that battle.
Yeah, and there was, and they were, the violations were technically rewarded, you know. So like there were judges that gave the round to the violations, you know. So I feel like, and I think that there came a point where he was trying to like really force these preps in, and it just kind of like became a lot for him because he has a lot going on. And I mean, this shit lasts a long time, bro. This goes. We're four months into this stuff. It's like you can't always predict what 4 months of your life is going to look like, you know, to be able to like consistently perform at that high level, you know.
You know, he's got 169 battles on YouTube. When you add everything from this season, he's going to have 170. Only him and Dre Dennis have 170 battles. I want to believe there's a little bit of battle rap CTE, right? There's a little bit of mileage. It has to be after having 176 battles, right?
Just crazy. Battle rap CTE. It's like, yeah, you know, he's just like got millions of just bars just like roaming around up there, and you know, they get mixed up.
It's like the little math scheme, and like when they try to do the math in front of your face, like.
Yeah, no, but I love him though. Like he's a legend. He's gonna go down as one of the best to ever do it, for sure.
Facts.
So I mean, I think if he has an off tournament, like he could do this until he was 60 years old and still be competitive. So I have no doubt that he'll be back strong and he'll do it at his own pace. I think this pace just kind of was a little much for him at the moment.
Who else in this season, not just in your division, really caught your attention besides like Bill and Mac Myron? Because they're like top of the food chain here. Is there anybody else that really caught your attention?
A lot of people, man. Like I feel like everyone has strengths. And, you know, first and foremost, Lou Cypher, man. Lou Cypher has always been one of my favorite writers and my favorite people, man. He's probably one of my closest friends in battle rap. And Lou is special when it comes to writing. Like Lou says things in a way that's special. A lot of people are very cookie cutter with the way they approach shit, but Lou is special, man. Like you can't deny what Dunch is doing in the East. Like he has so much personality that you could have your best performance and his personality can negate that very quickly. And he's looking very strong out there. You got all the North is so strong top to bottom. You got guys like City and Times and all these guys winning and Excel's done really, really, really well. His match with Dunch was such a kind of clash of styles that it's really hard to even, you know, have them against each other. But Excel's always been one of the best writers out there too. You know, just to try to figure out who's all in these divisions, it's hard because like there's 48 of us and I'm like, yeah, we've all got strengths, but the standouts are definitely like those ones. I'm just those are the ones that to me, when I look at who I'm gonna have to fight for this money, and they come from the West too. I feel like Pass and Caustic and Essam are all rap. They have very capable of having a great day. So you know, anybody I face in these playoffs, I'm going to worry about for sure. Because if you make the top four in your division, you got to be a monster. So,
salute to Dev the Demon in the chat. He says, for you, he's from the Bay. Salute to Dev the Demon.
Not only is he from the Bay, man, Dev is a killer, man. Dev is my guy. The Demons, I'm a Demon affiliate. Him and Next just went out to iBattle.
Yeah, I was in the building. I can confirm Next won the money. And Dev... Light work over there, light work.
Dev is special, man, because Dev has a style. Like I told him this at when we were at a bots event together. I'm like, he's outside of the box in a way where he's kind of got that X factor that people strive for along with the bars. Dev's ceiling is really, really high. And he's he's strong as fuck too. Like I was trying to he got in a fight at a battle. I was trying to hold him back. I had like my the soles of my shoes are like skidding across the floor. I'm just like moonwalking and he's just bulldozing me through the whole room trying to get to his opponent, man. Like Dev, yeah, I guarantee you must've been a linebacker. He must've been.
Yeah. He definitely plays some football.
Dev is my guy for real. Yeah. No, I like Demons. I fuck with the Demons a long time, man. Like back to the Power and Respect battle days, Ned, Dev, Drix, like all of them, man. Like that's a squad that came from the bottom and now they're at the top, man. And I fuck with every single one of them.
Oh, so it must have been a sparkle to you to see like Nexus Ascension this year, because
I love it, man.
He took over.
He did, and I you know, I think the thing the thing about Next too is that like people just wanted to hate him so bad, man. And to tell you the truth, like,
they still do.
Well, I mean people always kind of want to have a say in how much success you can have, right? And I think he just had too much success for people too fast. It's like you want to believe that it's not like just like an open door to success, especially in something that's like such a hierarchy as URL. You know, a lot of people work hard to get where they're at, and like they're like seeing Next do all this stuff. But the truth is, man, like Next works harder than anyone I know, man. He really puts his shit together. He puts his performances together. Like, you can't take away what he does. And people are just like, I don't know, man. Especially after that shit with Elijah, man. Like, it's just like, how do you even defend yourself when it's like you get everything and he gets nothing in one of the most competitive battles ever? It's like people are going to be so hurt about that shit because you just feel like one guy gets all the rewards and one guy just has to eat shit. And so he's in a no-win situation there. And I think that was pretty much one of the starts of it, of you know, him really benefiting from that close battle. But, man, I feel like Next has earned everything that he's gotten, man. Like, and plus, you know, if you know the guy, you'd sure be rooting for him too. He's like, you know, he comes across like he's really just like feeling himself in battles. But, like, he's one of the most humble dudes I know, man. Real good dude. Like,
one of my favorite things about Next, and I had this conversation with him as well when I saw him Saturday, and I had to tell him this face to face because I'm really amazed by how young he is and how well he handles all the internet slander or all the people that try to like downplay his accomplishments, because that can really affect somebody's mental well-being. Like, damn, I just arrived, this is one of my best years, and everybody hates me. For him, he's just like, he just ignores it, keeps moving, and just focuses on him. And a lot of veterans can't do that.
Yeah, that's, well, I mean, ego plays into this like dramatically, right? Like, it's like, so if you can humble yourself enough to know that there's going to be people talking shit about you at all times, that's like a huge testament to maturity. Like, you will never, ever, like, think about, I don't know a single person in the top tier that's not like defending themselves at all time from slander and shit and people talking. Like, people hate Lux, they hate Surf, they hate, you know, they hate all of the people at the top, because like, there's just like a level of hatred that comes with success. And I think with Next is not new to this shit, man. He's been doing this for years, like damn near a decade. So from where he's come from and where he is now, he's put the work in to feel, you know, confident in his skill set. So I imagine that now that he's here, it's like, you guys can talk all you want. I've been without you for a long time, and now you're here, because it's almost like a testament to his success, I think. And I think he recognizes that.
Yeah. I'm impressed by it, man. I'm impressed. He's got a long way to go, and he's nowhere near his ceiling. So yeah. I can't wait to see what it looks like when he's polished and he's reached that next level, and what people are going to say then.
Oh God. Well, I mean, like at this point, nobody, to tell you the truth, I don't see a lot of people performing with him, bro. Like, I really want to see him and Tay Rock, man. I feel like that would be such a fun one, just in terms of like the energy. And I feel like I was kind of lobbying for that one with the Riot. I thought that'd be good on the Riot. You know, if Tay Rock wanted to come out to the Riot, that would, like, him and Next would have been a real good one, because just like, I know the energy in that room, and I know it would pop at that battle. That'd be crazy.
Hold up, man. Let me switch on over. Yeah. Tay Rock has said that he will battle Next. First, he's like, I don't want to battle him. I would battle him. And Next is like, look, what do you want to do? You want to battle me? You don't. I'm here for it. I'm not going to say no. You're Tay Rock. I'm going to say yes.
Well, I think the thing, I mean, here's the thing about like dudes like Tay Rock, dudes like Sue Surf. They've put themselves in a position to be choosy, not based on competitiveness, based on branding, right? Like, When Tay Rock or Sue Surf share a stage with you, they're giving something to you. They're giving you a brand. They're giving you. So I think a lot of times, like, they want to protect that by sharing stages with people who have an equal brand. So no matter how competitive you are, I could say that I think that Next would beat either, you know, one of those guys. But at the end of the day, that doesn't matter as much as their ability to kind of like move their brand the way they want to move it. you know, like, and that's okay. Because like, if you have these millions of views and there's other people in the tens of thousands of views, it's like, that's a brand difference. And so I don't get mad when people do that, in the same way I don't get mad when people protect their zeros. Because, you know, if you don't want it, like judge battles, to do judge battles is really, really, there's potential for damage for you. You're allowing people to very publicly put you in a position of success or failure. And that's why you don't see these dudes doing judge battles the way that, you know, like, not everybody's hopping in Ultimate Madness, you know, because it could do damage. And so I'm never mad when dudes, like, you know, that are protecting their brand and they're making smart moves. It's like, that's a smart thing to do. But Next is almost there, man. You can't stop it. You can't stop it. He's going to get there.
Yeah, I mean, these guys are lining up for any battle in the West, coming out to the West, guys from the West, because truthfully, the West has been running battle rap for at least the last 3-4 years. And I want to tell you this personally, this, all right? Yeah. I know the West Coast always like, I have this chip on my shoulder. We have to fight for our respect. Look, wipe the tears, West Coast. You guys have arrived. You guys got a 2-time champion of the year. You guys got Danny Myers. You got this guy here, West Coast, West Divisional leader. You guys got B-Dot, Daylight. And we're not even talking about Disaster, Thesaurus, and everybody else before them. Like, the West is in good hands, all right? I don't want to hear this chippy. We got to fight for our respect. Like, you guys are good.
I never thought. Well, here's the thing, man. I really think, to tell you the truth, if we're being, like, really honest about it, it's there. I think in some ways, there's always going to be an underdog effect with the West, because hip hop, battle rap, like that whole, it was born in the East. You know what I mean? It's like, if you, like, even as a West Coast guy, like, my hip hop heart was in the East. You know what I mean? I grew up with Boot Camp. I grew up like with different, like, the East Coast movement is what created like the level of hip hop that moved out West. And then it was more, you know, gangster shit out here that kind of like blew up, became really popular. But like, at the end of the day, like, the roots, the source of it all is in New York. And I think because of that, and not to mention so much of its fan base is in New York, you know what I mean? It's like, I feel like if you're talking ratio, like West Coast support compared to East Coast support, like, this little chunk of New York is the heart of hip hop, as far as, you know what I mean? And so because of that, it's always going to feel uphill. But to tell you the truth, man, yeah, it's running some shit right now. Geechee is
fucking yeah,
killing shit. Rum killing shit. You know, like, you get all these guys like Real Name Brandon just fucking won Ultimate Madness, you know? So to me, I feel like there's a lot of hungry dudes out here doing their shit, doing it well, doing it consistently. It's got a lot of heart out here, man. And
collectively, the West has collected like almost $250,000 in just winning tournaments. Sang got his 50 in January. Real Name got his 25, and Nitty and Geechee split 75 apiece just now. So that's $225,000 from just West Coast winning. And this is also in the history books of people winning tournaments and seasons and et cetera. But like, yeah, you guys are good. You guys are good.
Yeah, I've always felt the same way, but I think it's a narrative based on kind of just like authenticity, right? Like, it's just like, when you think of hip-hop history, the West came late to the party compared to New York. You know, if you really know like about the roots of things like that, and when you look at even like URL, for example, right? URL, its presence is firmly rooted in the East, specifically in New York. They've gotten to the point now where they're moving around to Atlanta, to Texas. You know, they're coming out with like KG with the Traffic and, you know, Floss, and everybody's doing the stuff with the Crucible. So there's a lot of stuff that it's moving more worldwide. They've even done the stuff in England. But I think there's always going to feel like an underdog effect, because you always kind of feel like you're looking at kind of the Mecca when you're looking at New York. And I think anybody who really has a heart in hip hop feels that way. You know, like, you have to, you can't just, I mean, cause we're out here fighting for respect. We're fighting, but like, you also have to respect, you have to respect the roots of it. And I think that's why it's always feels like an underdog effect, but there's nothing underdog right now. Like, they're running shit. They're running shit.
There's a lot of dominance going on, and Traffic, man, it'll be in the West. I know KG's behind it. I think this time it's going to be in Oakland instead of LA. Did you get a call for Traffic?
Say it again.
I know they would probably would love to have you on that card, right? But did you get a call?
Yeah, I've talked to URL a few times. KG and I get along really well. KG is one of the most solid dudes in battle rap. You know, Floss reaches out to me, another good dude. I get along with the URL guys out here really well. And I wish I could have I wish I could have even gone there to see it. I actually have an appointment to finish my tattoo in Salt Lake that weekend, so I can't even go. But like, no, I'm excited to. I know some of the matches on it, so I'm excited to kind of like, you know, see the way it plays out. And Oakland is such a good spot for battles, man. Like Oakland is incredible. Like, yeah, they're gonna love it out there. They're gonna love it. There's some good matches on there that people are gonna love.
It's honestly one of my favorite markets. Like when Town Business came back, Town Business 1 and 2, I was like, I missed this.
It was big, you know. There's like from the start, because a lot of the grind time stuff out there, like, really solidified a market for it, you know, because like that's what a lot of these places like lack is a market, like a returning market that gets excited about people. Oakland is just always going to have a really big showing up for both like King of the Dot style events. Like I've been to like both times. I went to the URL event in Oakland that I don't know if much of the footage came out, but it was when Emerson Kennedy went against Young Cannon. And
wow,
the
yeah.
footage actually got lost to that battle because the camera died in the middle of it. But that battle was one of my favorite battles I ever saw live. So I was so heartbroken when it didn't come out, man. Like, but you know, that whole event, it's just very, you know, like the whole URL vibe was very in it. Like there's a lot of heart, and I felt like, man, I was like just staring at that card, just like feeling like, man, this is one of them ones. And they always used to do it at a place called TFK Clothing. And so it's the same place where like Rum Nitty battled Danny Steam? Myers.
Oh,
Danny
okay.
Myers. Yeah.
Ooh.
So, yeah. Because like that one, they did Battle of the Bay 6 there. And that's the same place the URL held their event when they went out there. So I know some of those videos came out, but not all of them.
Yeah. So TFK is a little landmark, a little venue landmark.
Very much so. Yeah, I did my second battle at TFK. I battled Psychosis at TFK. I did, and then that URL battle was there. But yeah, for a while, it was very much kind of like the default spot for West Coast Bay Area events specifically, because there's actually a pretty big gap between the Bay Area and Los Angeles. We're 6 hours away from each other. So even us West Coast guys are pretty separated. You know, it's not like we're all in the same region. Like I got to drive 6 hours to get to LA.
Wow, man. Wow. And I was going to assume that you probably couldn't be on traffic because you've been training for your event next Sunday, right?
Oh, my God, man. Okay, yeah.
I see you put it out there. What is it? Two-mile swim, 100 miles bike ride, right? Like, break this down for me, please. This sounds insane.
Oh, God. No, I'm doing an Ironman next weekend. And it's a 2.4-mile swim. It's a 112-mile bike ride, and it's a 26-mile marathon run. So, I don't plan on breaking any world records, but it's one of those things that I wanted to do once in my life because I've done triathlon.
Our chat says, I got tired just hearing this.
Oh, my God. Me too. Trust me. Well, like, because it's like it's – you can't just, like, go out and do it. Like, if I don't train, I won't finish. And so I'm like just, you know, I get – when I swim for too long, I didn't grow up a swimmer. I only learned to swim recently. Like, I was playing other sports, but, like, swimming was not one of them. So I learned to swim just for the sake of triathlon. And like clockwork around 1 mile or so, I just start cramping, you know, cramping is you be like, my body is not built for that type of shit, man. I'm not like these swimmers, these rail thin swimmers. So like for me, it's not always easy for me to get out of the water and like, it's a long time to swim 2.4 miles. So I'm very curious how that swim is going to go. And then beyond that, it's just heart. I'm just going to punch through until the end. And then if I get through it, then
you deserve $1.50 for just attempting it. Salute to you for the training of this Ironman. But I'm curious, how much has this training kind of helped you with your battling? Because I've seen some people in the chat says this explains why he delivers his material so flawlessly. And I'm sure the breath control and delivery has been aided by this, right?
I think I've always had pretty good breath control in terms of like even like – but I also like – I've been in shape for a long time because I take it seriously. Like I don't ever get so sloppy that I can't perform, you know, like I feel like as I get older, I just want to kind of like, I want to make sure that like I'm an athlete my whole life. I don't ever want to get to the point where I'm not just paying attention to trying to keep moving, you know? And, you know, that doesn't even have anything to do with weight. It's just more about activity. You know, I just want to stay active as I go. And, but it does, I mean, it's helpful just because like, I try to make sure that I say things in a way that doesn't look like I'm gassing, you know, like I think that's a lot of what breath control is. It's not necessarily having giant lungs. It's just knowing where to put the breaths. You know what I mean? Like, but yeah, it's beneficial. It's definitely beneficial. So
nah, that's great, man. And I want to spin back to the season a little bit. And now that it's over for the West, what will you think are some things that could be done a little bit differently in the season? Not so much as you as a battler, but like from the league standpoint, like what could they have done to incentivize guys better, get more traction towards it, make it a little bit more marketable? Like what is some feedback you have for it?
I think some of the matches snuck up on people a little bit where it's like some of the, you know how like ESPN has like pretty much a constant breakdown of what's happening in divisions and things like that. Like, I feel like that could be beneficial in a way that, you know, like obviously there's so many, you know, like media that are covering it from all angles, but I don't know if that there's really like, even from the league, it would be nice, like from King of the Dot to actually have like a real thorough breakdown of what's happening to keep people invested the way that they do in the NFL. Like, this is where this team stands. This is where this, you know, and you know, that's going to pique interest because people are interested by competition, right? Like they want to know like who has something to gain and who has something to lose. And like those narratives really kind of like play into things and help. So, but beyond that, the judging is just so hard, bro, because you have, all of us are going against 25% of the division and some of us have no overlap at all. You know what I mean? So like if I battle three guys in a 12 guy division and somebody else battles three guys, but how do we really truly like compare those scores? Like, how do we say that this guy's better than this guy? Because this guy won, like take Reverse Live, for example. Reverse Live had, he was 2-1 in three very competitive matches. And then another guy who's 2-1 in competitive matches that battled three completely different people. How do you really compare them, you know? So what I was talking to Organic the other day and I was like, maybe you fix that by making it six battles next season instead of three, because then you're going to have more overlap. Then you're battling half the division instead of a third or a fourth of the division. So I think the overlap is really crucial to fairness because like, and not to mention, man, like six battles for $100,000, like that's a commitment worth making, you know, it's like, that's a lot of money. So, And plus we're kind of, you know, getting paid as we go too. So it's not like anybody has anything to lose in that department. You get dedicate a little bit more time. The season is more longer to invest in, you know? So that would probably be my biggest suggestion. Just expand the people that each person battles. So there's more overlap so we can accurately compare to each other.
I like a longer season. I definitely think you get a better sample size because when everybody was 2-0, 1-1, 0-2, I'm looking at all the scores like, damn, somebody could really low-key just sneak up in here. Like, if some people just score back-to-back 150s, you could have got knocked out. And it's like, damn, he's been performing amazing the entire season. I can't believe I'm not going to see this guy in the playoffs. But if there is more battles in the season, what's the prep time between the battles? How much longer would that extend everything?
So here's the big issue is that, like, there's no consistency because we had, like, this giant – like number of dropouts, you know, and people who would kind of quit. Like it started for me because I was originally supposed to go against Real Name Brandon. And so me and Real Name Brandon were 10 days out and then he decided to do the Ultimate Madness thing. So I was on his helmet a little bit. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing, man? Like, you're going to leave me
hanging. I remember that.
Now I can't be. The guy won 25 grand, bro. Like, go do your
shit. If you leave, you better go win.
It is what it is. But you have to understand that, like, he put me in a spot. And I'm trying to win 100,000, and now I've prepped for a battle that I can't say to anybody else. And now everybody has a prep, you know, advantage over me. So then I only had a month to battle for Bobby where everyone else had a two-month, and I'm trying to, like, get Bobby together. And then I had to battle Fate in like 2.5 weeks after that because of how set back. Because I had to wait a month to battle Bobby because of I couldn't just battle Bobby in 10 days. I needed an extra month to prep for Bobby. So, and then a guy like Fate had to deal with that exact same shit. And like so many of us, you know, if they had an opponent that dropped out, like if you were Active's opponent or if you were Real Name Brandon's opponent, Or, you know, like there's a lot of people that like on short notice just put people in spots and they really, so there was no consistency at all to how it went with the prep, because some of us had 2 months to prep for every battle. Others of us just had like 2 weeks to prep for certain battles because of these dropouts.
Should there be some penalization if people reschedule battles? Because, like, I remember when Math was in the East, like, he had to reschedule a battle a whole month out, and then he eventually left the division. Yeah. But let's say he had battled Dre Dennis a month later, like, that kind of affects everything. Should there be some kind of penalty for it?
I mean, to tell you the truth, it shouldn't even be a penalty. It should be in the contract. Like, because for me, when I signed up for this shit, I was like, everything goes on these dates. Like, I have to be ready on these dates. If I'm not, I don't know, man. Like for me, like if I lock in a date, if I say that I'm here on these dates, I'm there on those dates, man. I'm not like, I've had a lot of horrible shit happen in battle preps, but I don't push it back because it's like, if I obligate myself to it, even if I need to show up bad, I'm going to show up on that date. So I don't know. I just function differently in that sense where I'm not going to kind of try to wiggle an entire tournament around myself. If I have to fuck up in a battle because I'm not ready for it, then that's my burden. I can't suddenly gain an advantage of extra prep time because my life is bad. It's just, that's the way it goes for me. And I'm not saying that's the right way, but that's the way that I've kind of, you know, carried myself. And so, you know, and I think that honestly, people should just be contractually bound. If you can't do it, then, you know, that's one thing, but it's like to just continually push the entire tournament, it becomes really hard to keep things fair. You know what I mean?
So yeah, that's going to be something they probably look into next season, making sure they get people fully committed. Because there were some names when I seen them, I'm just like, he's not going to be in this tournament. Like, when I saw Jack, I'm like, what's Jack doing here? Jack's not going to take one battle in this tournament. It, like, you know.
Well, I mean, and it changes the game when people lose. Like, sometimes people lose. I there's probably 7 or 8 people when they lost. They're like, I'm done with the tournament. You're like, well, fuck. Like, what do we do now? You know, like,
my favorite part when Jag kind of like, oh, I told Organic that I got some life things going on. I can't do the battle. And they're like, so we won't see you on Max Out 3? He goes, I didn't say all that.
Next day, yeah, just like, nah, just overcommitted. Like, to tell you the truth, man, like, people are gonna take whatever you give them. And I think sometimes people like have gotten so used to pulling strings in their own favor that they forget when things like this happen. It's like the train moves without them. And so when you overcommit or when you commit yourself to something you can't do, it's like it's gonna be exposed because here's your date and you're not gonna show up. And it just, you know, it happened plenty in this tournament. So nah.
Yeah, what if it's 32 people instead of 48?
What was that?
What if it's 32 people instead of 48, 8 per division?
I mean, I think the problem with that is it gives Twitch less content. You know what I mean? Like, and that's the real problem is that, like, when you have, like, sponsors and things like that, they're not doing this for no reason. They're doing it because they want content, you know? And so content is essential in making sure that these things run smoothly and that they have the advertisement and that's how revenue is created. So I feel like when it comes down to it, 32 gives you, you know, a lot less battles in a season. Mm. And unless you give them more battles, right? So, maybe that you could probably bridge that gap with more battles and less people. So, yeah, I guess that probably could work. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind, but yeah, I think as far as this one goes, this is the biggest chance I'll ever have at this kind of money for me. Like I to be in the top 16 right now for 100K, like I'll never have this kind of lottery ticket again. So I need to play it strong. You know, it's just like because I have a feeling it's going to get harder and harder to win this money in the future. You know what I mean? Like there's going to be more people come in, the competition is going to be more like, I could win this money, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's just like, so, and it's too much money to really not, to not take a crack at. So like, I feel like this is my biggest chance I'm ever going to have. It's crazy to think about.
Do you feel like this is the best year so far of your career? Because like, even before the season started, like when you battled on the Riot, I was like, this is probably one of the biggest buys of the year. I've always felt like you were underrated and get your just due, but this year for sure, I will put it on the stamp, and I've said this plenty of times, you're getting a top 20 vote from me when it's panel time.
I appreciate it, man. I do appreciate it. I think it's funny because like I take that seriously, but I also kind of like have to just do my own thing because like for example, like a lot of people can do this very consistently with the prep that they have. I have a lot of obligations in my life and I wish that I was a 19-year-old and I could just like live with my mom and just write all day because I love doing it that much. But I think for me, like even the Stewie battle, right? Like if I was really trying to lock in, I think I kind of got my heart broken when I really went crazy in maybe, I forget if it was 2019. And that was the year that like Champion didn't happen.
Yeah.
And like, so I put, and then it was then that I realized that I was like, I can't do this for other people, you know? Cause I was like, I think I could crack top 15, 20 in Champion this year. And then they didn't even do it. So I was like, well, from then on, I kind of just stopped really like trying to force out battles because I was getting tired and I was like exhausted. And
yeah, your 2019 was crazy, man. Your A-War battle, you went and beat Soul out in the UK, your Big K battle, Reverse Live 2 that year, right?
I think I had a couple title defenses there. I think I battled Incredible and then...
Everybody Knows.
Everybody Knows, yeah. So like it was... So I was, you know, I was enjoying it, but to tell you the truth, like, I just, since then, it, like how people view me, like, of course it does my brand good to end up on these lists, but I think like, even like with the Stewie battle, I'm playing a chess hand. I'm not necessarily playing a be better than everybody hand. I'm like, I'm trying to figure out the social experiment of the tournament that I'm in. I'm like the environment where I'm like, what hands can I play strong and what hands do I need to put away, you know? And like, so I think for me right now, like the only thing that matters is 4 wins. Like if I could get these 4 wins, it's life changing, you know? So, and I would love to do that. And I'd love to kind of like just have that as part of my story in life, you know, just to the fact that I fought and fought and fought and I got it done. And if it's not in the cards, that's fine too. But I think that like, it's just such a fun motivation for me, you know, just to like, stare down this kind of money in 4 battles. If I can get 4 battles right, if I can get support for 4 battles, then that's big for me, you know. So
yeah, I absolutely cannot wait for the playoffs to start. When do they start?
I think the first one, my understanding, is December 19th. Yeah.
All right.
They're closing up like the other divisions. And this is actually a pretty cool week because every single one that happens is like from here on out is locking up playoff spots. So it's like, you know, week 17. So, you know, we're sitting here and I'm excited to see who's going to get these opportunities because like, especially when you look at a division like the North and you got guys like Cash Money versus Times, they're both on the bubble. You know what I mean? And so like, one of them can like fight their way into one of these, like, you know, it's just going to be like so crazy to think of that, like all of the implications for these bubble matches of who's going to fight their way into these playoffs. Mm. Like that changes a lot.
Yeah, man. My battle rap degenerate soul is pleased and I cannot wait for the playoffs.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Me too. I think I'm excited to kind of just unleash, man. Like, cause I feel like, it's been a long time, you know, like, especially because I got off to such a strong start at the beginning of the season that I was like, I got into this place where I'm like, okay, I'm here. Like, now just figure some things out. And now it's time to just, like, hit the switch and just go back to, like, murder everything. You know, just don't, like, don't let up. You die if you let up. You're out of this tournament if you let up. So, like, that killer instinct for me is, like, immediately back. And I love it. I love feeling like, I fucking dare you to put somebody in front of me. Like, that's how I feel. Like, I was getting through the tournament. I'm like, okay, let's get through. Now I'm like, who's here? You know, like, I'm just waiting in this room. Like, who the fuck
is here?
Like, let's talk about it. So I'm excited, man. I'm like, I'm really excited. And for both the opportunity and the platform, you know, just like to be on the world stage. It's like now we're at this point where everyone's going to be 16 people. And to be one of them is like, it's just super motivating for me, bro. It's going to be cool.
Flex, man. I don't want to take too much more of your time, brother, man. And I'm really honored to have spoken to you. And I'm even more honored to have a nice OTBR bar and the Stewie battle. Salute to that. You know what
oh,
I mean?
Yeah.
We're going to put that in the audio drop because that was dope.
2 hours from now on LTBR Twitter page, that shit will yeah. say Stewie unexpectedly winds up on death certificate.
Yeah. Yeah. Salute for that. You know what I'm saying? Our price went up after that. So
there you go.
Today's price is not yesterday's price anymore.
You went up, man. No, it's a pleasure, man. I always like have you and Tim and everybody. Just like I always feel very fortunate that you know like to have had your support over the years, and I've seen it, you know, between like the drops and the standings and things like that. And I appreciate the thoroughness of everything you guys do over there, because a lot of times people will just say stuff, but with like all of the stats, everything you got going on, like you could tell there's like a deep commitment to it. And whether or not people agree with it, it's still fucking cool, man. It's like, because we need all of it. Like the more content, the more that we say, and you guys have always been top notch at that, which is why like I've always messed with you, man. So I do appreciate it.
I sincerely appreciate that. It's really humbling. But I got to be honest, though. Media doesn't set the narrative, right? Battle rappers do, right? Battle rappers control the narrative more than media, right? Can we agree to that?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I mean, I think that like some battle rappers take media so personally, right? It's like, but I'm a big believer that media is necessary on all fronts. Like, it's like you need the negative shit, you need the positive shit, because it's like it's just a giant melting pot of information. And I think some of the opinions are less informed, and I think those ones kind of like tend to be, you know, like taken a little bit more personal. Like if you see 9 good opinions about you and 1 bad one, a lot of people will respond to the 1 bad one. So you know how it is, man. Like, but for me, I like it all, man. I'm not going to take anything personally that anybody says. So like, you know, but I agree that like sometimes when battle rappers get in their feels, which, you know, we tend to do sometimes, it's a tough world to be out here. Cause like you're so criticized, bro. You're just so.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's relentless. It's relentless.
And, so sometimes you just catch someone on a bad day where you just don't want to hear about it. Like maybe you ignore it the first 6 days of the week, and then you know you had a bad day. You're like, man, fuck that guy. You know. So, you know, we're all out here living on a day to day basis. But I do agree that like battle rappers kind of choose which times to attack and which media to attack, and it becomes tough because the credible sources blend in very much with the not credible sources. So it's kind of like we're all just out here posting things. And so, you know, journalistic integrity is not necessarily the focus of a lot of these dudes. And some of them are just outright trying to get a reaction, you know, because negative attention is better than no attention. So,
yeah, like I hate seeing the season only get coverage when there's like robberies or people are upset about like judging, and it's like, wait, there's a bunch of good battles happening. Like, what's going on?
No, it's been crazy. I mean, like, but I also think it's kind of like for you to be in Caffeine too over here is just like that's a URL centric platform, right? So, you know, that's the one that's so of course the fan base is going to be here and they're going to want to see that because URL is you know, they're fucking killing it. Every single event they do like pops off, whether somebody performs well, somebody performs bad, there's energy there, you know? So it's no, especially in Caffeine where you guys are doing this, it's just like it's obvious why there's going to be a lot of pop for, you know, those battles over here, because there's a lot of hype behind them and there's a strong support. The tournament itself though is like, for me, I'm enjoying it, man, and I feel like it's getting a lot of exposure as it builds, you know, as it builds and as it comes down to the wire, more people are like, what's going to happen? Because at first, it's just these random 2-minute battles, you know, just bam, 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 bam. And you've got 50 of them and they're every Sunday. But then, you know, once it really breaks down, it's like, now we're here. Now there's 16 of us. So it's like, wait a second. Now there's 16 of them, you know. So
the closest thing to like a trade deadline in the season is like when somebody drops out of a division, and it's like, who's going to replace them?
Yeah, who's next? Like, who's the replacement? It's like, now we got Impos, I guess. So
yeah,
because he filled in for whoever dropped out up there. And I think it was Frenchie, right? Frenchie dropped out. Yeah, so now Inpose. And Inpose is a formidable opponent, too. So it's like, yeah, now let's see what you can do. Like, it's just like throw somebody in the Squid Game. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's like, let's give him a number. 457.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's cool, man. But it also slows things down because, like, now you got to wait for all these people to finish up battles. Like, but, yeah, for me, it's December 19th, man. That's going to be it.
December 19th, man. Flex, man. 150 flex.
I appreciate it, man.
Salute, yeah. Brother.
All socials, Mad Flex Hip Hop, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Twitch, Caffeine. I think Caffeine, I might be just Mad Flex because I actually got that one. I was early in the game for Caffeine. But yeah, those are the socials. Come check me out and stay tuned for all these playoffs. It's going to be fun.
And everybody, please wish my man some luck on Sunday. If we don't hear from him for the next 48 hours, he's not dead. He's just recovering.
48 weeks. I might be just like, let's see, if I'm face down somewhere, you know, just keep a good thought for me. Nah, I appreciate you, man.
Salute, Flex. Salute, brother. Enjoy the rest of your day.
You too.
Take care. All right, y'all, man. Mad Flex, man. That was him, man. This guy's amazing, man. This guy's incredible. He's been underrated for a couple years. I think he deserves a just due. And I cannot wait to see what he does December 19th. Yeah, I enjoyed the discussion as well, Rita. I enjoyed the discussion as well. It was really dope. We can talk a little Hollow DNA before I sign out, man. You know what I'm saying? Hollow and DNA was interesting. But before I get to Hollow DNA, real quick, one last time, salute to Flex, man. Big round of applause to that guy. He's been working hard. He's been working diligently, relentlessly for years. And even when he's been under the radar, like you said, 2019, he thought he'll make a top 20 list, and that year didn't happen. Like, it meant a lot to him. These things mean a lot to these guys, man. You know, like, having these accolades and cementing yourself in certain history books over the years, like, that matters. 5 to 10 years from now, when we look at a whole list of all the top 20 battle rappers for the last decade, like, you want to see your name there multiple times. Like, that's going to matter. You know what I'm saying? We didn't have it over the last decade, but we have it now. So people are trying to get that now because it matters. Yeah, man. And his battle with Shock was crazy. His battle with Soul was crazy. This guy's been putting on, man. I cannot wait to see what happens in the tournament. If he was losing the first round, oh, that'd be such an upset. But I think he's going to go far, man. I personally want to see him and Bill meet somewhere, whether it's the semis, whether it's the finals. Like, that's my dream finals match or dream semifinals match for season one. All right, man, let's talk some Hollow and DNA, because I know we wanted to talk about it before we get up out of here. I seen the live with Miss Nels and DNA and Hollow. And Hollow's is doing Hollow stuff. You know what I mean? Twisting words, taking things personal, going out of bounds, trying to get you worked up. This is who Hollow is. Hollow's yelling at DNA. DNA is like, yo, why are you yelling? Like, what's happening? He's like, keep it rap. And DNA's like, I am keeping it rap. Like, what do you want? And DNA said today on his show that he will battle Hollow to Don. You know, it looks like Hollow pushed him off the edge. What was interesting to me, though, before we get up out of here, let me read this from the Hollow and DNA back and forth. Hollow tells DNA, you're not a better freestyler than me, your pen is definitely not better than mine, and you just turned into Gary. And DNA responds, my pen is light years ahead of you. And I gotta be honest, man, writing, I'm giving it to DNA. Freestyling, maybe once upon a time Hollow was a better freestyler, but not today. Rebuttaling, not today. Mid-round rebuttaling, not today. So all these categories that Hollow says he's better than DNA in, that was once upon a time ago. And today, I don't agree. I do not agree. Is this a match I watch? Sure. Is this a match I need and like? I don't need it. I like it. I'd rather see other things with DNA. I want to see DNA and Sick. I want to see DNA and King Los. If that ever happens, that's a real battle for DNA that I want to see. Still want to see DNA and Lux. I think he deserves it. It's a lot of other battles. I'd much rather see NWX versus Loaded Hollows, but we have no clue what K-Shine and DNA's relationship is like right now. If they'll do another 2-on-2. They said they will do another 2-on-2, but we'll have to wait and see. And Loaded Hollows feels like a mythical creature that you're going to see, like, once every, like, leap year. So, that's how I feel about it. DNA and Easy, Hardcore Flavor, I'm not going to lie to you, it's not a match that I need. It's not a match that I like that much. But I know it's a match that can be competitive and good. So, I respect both individuals to put it together. But Easy has a whole timeline. Like, Easy has Goods in the radar. Easy has Calico. I guess Mook might now be in the scope. You know, they're going to spin the block. Like, I eventually want to see Easy and Real Sick at one point, not anytime soon, but I want to see that. Like, or Easy and Ace, you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of matches for Easy before Easy and DNA comes around. And don't worry, DNA is a master. He knows how to plant his seeds to say, all right, we're going to battle in the near future. Don't worry about it. I'm going to get this bag later. I'm going to spin the block on you. He'll battle Easy one day. One day. It don't got to be anytime soon. So, all right, man. I'll leave it at that, man. LTBR Daily, this was a fun show. Salute to Madflex and Kings Out Season 1. Salute to everything going down. We will continue creating our content this week. We're back on regular course. CC was out last week. She was auditioning for a morning show out in Miami. So that was a lot on her plate. We don't want to overwhelm her. Titus will be back this week, obviously. You'll get the CC show this Wednesday. Some Toxic Thursday. And maybe some more things coming up in the near future. You know what I mean? So salute to the chat admin for holding down the whole show. My guy. Salute to everybody. Thank you, Shelly. Thank you, Shelly. Thank you, Rita Puffin Loud. Quietly. I'm slamming the NBA teams tomorrow. Yeah, me and Titus will be recording an NBA pod. That's going to be mad fun. The season starts tomorrow. I already got all my future bets. I already put in the Bucks to win the title again. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, put the Lakers to win the title on my team. You know what I'm saying? Put some money around, man. You know what I'm saying? I bet on some futures. I bet on some over-unders. You know what I'm saying? Not the experts. LTBR collab is happening. So, but all right, man. Enjoy the rest of your Monday afternoon and day. Have a productive day. Everybody, hopefully, be well and safe. Take care. Much positive energy to all of you out there. This will be uploaded immediately so you guys can enjoy the content. Thank you so much, as always. This stream is nothing without you guys. Peace and love.